It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, a Hmong American writer shares her memoir about living in and navigating two different cultures.
First, a contentious battle between Democrats and Republicans over a vacant U.S. Supreme Court seat has come to an end. Today, Neil Gorsuch, judge of the Federal Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit in Denver, was confirmed to serve on the nation's highest court. He filled the seat that became vacant with the death of Justice Antonin Scalia over a year ago.
The dust has hardly settled, though, especially after Republicans circumvented already frustrated Democrats by voting to change Senate rules and override a Democratic filibuster. Joining us now to tell us what the confirmation means for both the left and the right is Russell Berman. He's the senior associate editor at The Atlantic covering politics. Russell, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, is this one of the most hyper-partisan confirmations we've ever seen?
Yes, certainly in the last 25 years, the vote today to confirm Neil Gorsuch was 54 to 45, which was the closest and most partisan vote since Clarence Thomas won confirmation in 1991. Just three Democrats voted for Gorsuch along with every Republican, but most Democrats opposed him.
And how did this battle over a U.S. Supreme Court seat that lasted over a year, how did it test constitutional norms?
Well, in two ways. I mean, first we have to go back to when Justice Scalia died in February of 2016, and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Republicans refused to take up the nominee of then-President Obama, Merrick Garland, didn't give him a hearing, didn't give him a vote. That was unprecedented, although certainly within their power to do so. There's nothing in the Constitution that says the Senate has to even consider a presidential appointee. But then, you know, fast forward to the election, obviously, we have a Republican president. He nominated Neil Gorsuch. And then it became a question of whether he would get any Democratic votes. And Democrats decided to try to filibuster him. That means that denying him the 41 votes that would be necessary, essentially, you need to get 60 votes to clear a filibuster and get to a final vote in the Senate. And that's been the rule for many years. And so Democrats, more than 40 of them, opposed him. They filibustered him, and Republicans decided to change the rules. And so they voted to lower the threshold for overcoming a filibuster to just 51 votes so that they could confirm him on a party-line vote. And this, you know, there's a back and forth. Democrats did this for some, they changed the rules a few years ago for lower court nominees when they were in the majority. So in some sense, Republicans were just sort of carrying on that change and applying it to the Supreme Court. But it's led to a lot of rancor in the Senate. Obviously, Democrats think this Supreme Court seat was stolen initially, and now they think that Republicans have jammed Gorsuch through by breaking a long-standing Senate tradition.
How much was this debate about the Democratic wrath about the GOP being obstinate about not giving Garland a hearing? I mean, was there a lot of resentment with that? Was there baggage?
Certainly, there was a ton of resentment. Publicly, if you listen to the Democratic arguments against Neil Gorsuch, they were all focused on his conservative judicial philosophy. But in reality, his philosophy is not that much different from Chief Justice John Roberts or Justice Samuel Alito, two appointees of George W. Bush from, you know, a decade ago, who did win some Democratic support and were not filibustered when they came up for a vote. And so it was sort of unstated in many ways, but it really was about what happened with Merrick Garland. This was a gambit by Mitch McConnell that was never expected to really pan out, because people thought, one, that he couldn't sustain it, that they couldn't block that seat from being filled indefinitely. And then Democrats were very confident that Hillary Clinton would win the election and that, then she would get to appoint either Merrick Garland or potentially an even more liberal judge to fill Scalia's seat, and so that they would get somebody, one of their picks in that seat to begin with. And obviously that's not what happened. Mitch McConnell ended up looking like a genius, a very devious genius in the eyes of Democrats. And they're just very angry that this all worked out. And the impact, you can't really understate it. The Supreme Court is divided 4-4 after the death of Antonin Scalia. So, Justice Gorsuch is going to re-cement a conservative majority on the court, potentially for decades to come. And that, of course, could be extended if President Trump gets another pick, if there's another vacancy on the court, whether it's this year or in the next couple of years.
We're talking right now with Russell Berman. He's the senior associate editor at The Atlantic, covering politics, talking about the newest associate justice on the U.S. Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, confirmed today. Russell, when President Trump nominated Gorsuch, he said he was looking for a judge, quote, in the mold of Scalia. From what we know, and Gorsuch didn't give us too much to go on in his 20 hours of testimony, does Gorsuch fit that mold?
Well, according to conservatives, he does. Based on the way that he is ruled in cases in the 10 years that he's been on an appellate court in Colorado, based on his writings before he was a judge, based on his service in Republican presidential administrations in the past. He is somebody who has really passed the test with conservatives. They were very pleased to see Trump as a candidate last year, put him on his list of potential nominees, and they were pretty jubilant when he nominated him. Now, the caveat to that is you never really know until somebody gets on the court how they're going to rule. The famous example is when President George H.W. Bush nominated David Souter, nearly 30 years ago now. He was thought to be a conservative. He ended up being one of the liberal votes on the court. And that really energized conservatives in the last couple of decades to really make sure and really hold the line and make sure that Republican presidents nominate people that are not going to be another David Souter. And so there's a lot of, there's always going to be some nervousness. I mean, look at Chief Justice Roberts. He's ruled generally in a very conservative way. But, of course, he voted to uphold the Affordable Care Act, which conservatives, consider an apostasy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see how Gorsuch actually rules, but they're very confident that he's going to be conservative, and Democrats are too, and that's one of the main reasons why they opposed him.
Russell, one of the most contentious issues of the Trump administration is immigration. That includes the various iterations of his travel ban, which focuses on Muslim-majority countries. If that goes to the U.S. Supreme Court, what might we expect from a bench with Gorsuch on it?
Well, that's a big question. We don't know, as I said, and as Gorsuch said in his hearing, how he would rule. He did speak out when Trump, in the context of a lower court ruling about the travel ban, when he criticized judges. Gorsuch did speak out and say, that was demoralizing to see a president mm-hmm. attack judges in that way. But he wasn't talking about the substance of the case and whether the travel ban is constitutional. It's possible that his vote could make the difference and uphold the travel ban. It's also possible that he could vote to uphold the travel ban if it gets to the Supreme Court, and the court could still rule it unconstitutional because the swing vote on the court remains Justice Anthony Kennedy, and it's not clear that he would give that, he would be supportive of the constitutionality of the travel ban. So there still could be a 5-4 majority or even a 6-3 majority potentially against the president, against the administration on this. Like many cases before the court, we just don't know until they hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really quickly, before we let you go, Judge Gorsuch will be sworn in next week. What can we expect between now and then?
Well, there's going to be a ceremony at the White House and a ceremony at the Supreme Court. This only obviously happens once every several years. And so there's going to be a lot of pomp and circumstance. And then he's going to be, I think the first arguments that he's going to hear are going to be next week. So he's going to be jumping right in. They have another couple months left in their term. And so it begins very quickly for him.
Thank you so much, Russell.
Thank you.
That was Russell Berman, Senior Associate Editor at The Atlantic, covering politics. He joined us to talk about the confirmation of Neil Gorsuch to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court today.